Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. Hopefully you are laying still and comfortable in front of your air conditioner. For those of you who are not, just a quick reminder that the Herman Key Recreation Center is open as a cooling center today. Residents affected by the extreme high temperatures that are expected in the area. The Key Recreation Center is located at 800 East Market Street at the end of the downtown mall adjacent to the Intellos Wireless Pavilion. Very important. I know that I didn't have power and still don't. Thank you to my friend Katie for helping Lazarus and I stay cool. The folks at Lexington's 95.3 also in need of some assistance for high temperatures. And because of folks like Herb Bennett on WNRN today, Herb comes from your Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield authorized agent. As your local agent in Central Virginia, Herb provides expert knowledge and personal services in designing your individual health insurance plan. Your health is worth protecting, and you should not let it go uninsured. For a quote, you can give Agent Herb Bennett a call at 855-425-0090, or you can visit agentherb.com. All right, our guest today is Sarah Lawson from the Piedmont Council of the Arts. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. You actually were like throwing on a sweater at one point as though it was cold somewhere in Virginia.
It's true. I luckily did not lose power. I know that the gods are smiling down on me for that, so I'm still getting used to the fact that it's sweltering everywhere else.
Well, thanks for coming in. Those few steps between the house and the car and the car and the WNRN studio. We're going to be talking today with Sarah about arts. And I think in many ways people think of music and maybe theater and painting, but there's more to arts than that. Sarah, again, from the Piedmont Council of the Arts, we're going to be talking about what the PCA does in our area, what their goals are, and sort of a reminder of why the arts are important, not just for the community, but for the schools, because that's always been an issue, certainly in the last 4 or 5 years, as budgets and funding, et cetera, become a more and more concerning issue. And it seems like the arts are always sort of on the frills of the budget plans. But, Sarah, let's tell folks, not everyone's aware of what Piedmont Council of the Arts is and does.
Yeah, well, Piedmont Council for the Arts is the local arts council, basically, and we are the designated arts agency, which means that on a state and local level, we advocate for the arts. We do all that we can to support local artists, arts organizations, and also to get kids in the area involved in different arts outreach initiatives and just support the arts community in as many ways as we can. Depending on who we're working with, that support can come in many different forms. We work to provide promotional services for different arts programs that already exist. We also do some arts programs on our own that are professional development workshops for artists to help them expand their craft and become more professional in their business, working with arts organizations to collaborate on different programs and services for the area, and tons of other things that I'm sure we'll get to in the next hour.
Yes, we will. Now, PCA, Piedmont Council of the Arts, as we talk about funding in a variety of ways for specific groups and categories and schools, how does PCA get its money in order to do your job and meet your goals?
Yeah, well, most of our funding actually comes from individuals. The arts landscape these days is obviously changing drastically year by year with different funding cuts in place, and there's a lot less government and institutional funding that is available for arts organizations. As the designated local arts agency, we do get a certain amount of funding from the state and also from the city and Albemarle County. And technically, we do outreach services to Charlottesville, Albemarle, and the surrounding Thomas Jefferson planning area. So we cover quite a bit of area with a very small amount of funding. But like I said, most of that funding actually comes from individuals. We have a member base that's very, very dedicated and supportive. And then we also get donor contributions from people who are interested in supporting the arts or are also involved in our mission to kind of support the arts community.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Arts and funding, as funding for the Piedmont Council of the Arts, because in the past, or at least my knowledge in the past, that sort of funding has come from the government, whether it's come from your local, your state, or your federal government, or it has come from individuals donating, or sort of larger corporations doing their thing. But with the economy since, I don't know, 2008, 2007, I would think that those numbers have changed dramatically in money coming in.
It's true. The trends of arts contributions have definitely changed over the past decade or so. And honestly, they were changes that were kind of in place even or starting to take place before the economic crisis. But now we see them much more strongly. And it's basically just that government and corporate entities support the arts. I don't want to say less, but definitely in different ways. There are fewer grants available. There are fewer kind of stipends and annual contributions that we get from corporate sponsors or from the state or local government. And I think part of this is due to a more conservative budgeting process and needing to support other like social services and outreach programs that are deemed quote unquote more important than the arts. I think also it just comes from everyone's belt is getting tightened a bit. So of course the arts is not left out of that scheme. But, you know, arts organizations are coping. And I think that PCA especially, we're doing almost better than ever. We're definitely handling the crisis as well as possible. And you use the creativity that you have, and there are many other sources for income out there. And so it's a process of exploring those and finding other ways of functioning.
Well, I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit further into the show. Sarah Lawson here with me today. She's the executive director at the Piedmont Council of the Arts. As we're talking about the importance of arts and some of the specific projects that will be going on or are already going on with the PCA. I want to talk for a minute about arts and the public school system, as well as just we can expand that a little bit to the community in general, whether you want to look at it on a local or regional, national level. But when you talk about arts, and I think you said it with the quotes, more important, topics or are they out there? It always seems like when you talk about budgeting that the arts, and I want you to throw out what, I want you to define the arts in just a moment, but that's always one of the things that gets cut first. You cut the music teacher, you cut, instead of doing two or three plays per year in the school, maybe you do one. I know that bands, there's been discussion in the past for some high schools about can they afford to have a band anymore, things like that. First, define what qualifies, what are the arts, and then tell me about the importance of having that in the public schools.
Yeah, well, I think the arts are a very wide-ranging concept. Personally, I tend to think of the arts as any kind of creative endeavor, be it dance, woodworking, or poetry writing, what have you, anything that is creative expression for an individual or a group. PCA views the arts very widely as well, and we try to include all genres of arts. So literally the range from, visual arts to dance, theater, music, literary arts, and basically everything in between. There's some comedy shows that we include, and Charlottesville just has a lot of arts opportunities, so it's a very broad definition. And I think it's one that everyone has to kind of come up with their own definition themselves, but basically almost anything goes, in my opinion. And I mean, as far as the support that Charlottesville gives the arts, I think that we are very lucky and we live in a very strong arts community where there are lots of organizations who do lots of great work. And honestly, the city and the county support us very well. I think that they have a strong desire to do all that they can for the arts community, and that is limited only by their own financial constraints, but they do as much as they can within their means.
But if the Albemarle County superintendent, who we'll have on the show next month, were to say, I'm sorry, but we have to cut. We can no longer have a band. We're no longer going to have a theater group. There will be no plays this year. And the art class will only be, there will only be one art class for, you know, we can't have more than 15 students participating. You know, what is the PCA's response to that? How do you convince people that that's not where the budget should be cut?
Well, I think it's difficult. I think nationwide, you're seeing trends where this is happening and school funding is getting cut or reprioritized to different programs. And a lot of the way that that is being dealt with is just a kind of response from arts organizations, both the creation of additional arts organizations and also just reprioritization within the ones that already exist to provide more outreach and after-school programs for kids. PCA does a fair amount of advocacy work to work with Virginians for the Arts and other local and national organizations that advocate for better funding in the schools. Outside of that, there's not a ton that we can do at our level to increase the funding that school programs get. So the more effective way for our organization to work with the schools is to kind of provide services.
But you can be an advocate.
Exactly. We advocate.
And whether you're being an advocate through Piedmont Council of the Arts now, or whether Sarah Lawson is stepping out of her role as executive director and just being Sarah Lawson, someone who is a strong believer in the importance of arts, how do you say this isn't where the money should be cut? It's important to keep these positions and these classes, et cetera. Let's look at cutting our money from, let's change, you know, the bus plan. Let's, you know, do we really need to replant the football field grass? You know, that's what I want to hear is, for people who don't have enough money in other areas, how do you say this is important that we do spend this money here?
Well, I think it's difficult because I think the schools are definitely in a position, and this is totally my personal opinion, but the schools are in a position where they don't really have room to cut the absolute necessities. So they can't cut school lunch programs. They can't cut, you know, other things. And so the arts do often fall under that chopping block. And I guess my personal opinion is that until the schools start getting more funding again, just overall, the best way to handle the art situation is to get outside groups to come in and provide the art services that the schools used to provide. And it's not an ideal situation, but in Charlottesville, at least we're lucky and there are enough organizations who do that.
But there are other areas, and I would agree. Charlottesville, Albemarle, Richmond, we're certainly lucky areas in terms of supporting the arts, and whether it's dance or symphony, maybe a smaller, a minority percentage of interest as opposed to museums or music or theater, which seemed to have a larger percentage of sales, you might say. But, you know, let's go to, I don't know, I'm just going to pick a place and I'm going to say Fort Wayne, Indiana. I don't know what their arts programs look like in terms of the community. But if they were, somebody said, oh, I know this woman, Sarah Lawson, from Piedmont Council of the Arts. Sarah, will you please come in and tell this group why you shouldn't cut this?
I don't know. I mean, it really comes back to, I don't think it's a problem that can be solved until the schools are just better funded. I think until the government really provides the adequate amount of money, both for teacher salaries and for in-school programs, there's just going to be programs that have to be cut. And unfortunately, you know, I can't change people's opinions currently that the arts are one of those things. I think that the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study that we just did through PCA is a great point of evidence that the arts, you know, matter on an economic level. I think that, you know, working with kids on a daily basis, you see that the arts affects them. There's tons of studies nationwide that show that there are decreased rates of juvenile delinquency and, you know, jail time for kids who participate in arts programs. There's definitely all the evidence that you need that arts, you know, help youth get beyond any kind of at-risk situation that they're in. And people don't have the resources to be able to really address those. I think that the schools are really between a rock and a hard place and don't have many options.
11:14 on the Wake Up Call, talking with Sarah Loss, and she's the executive director at our Piedmont Council of the Arts. And we're going to get into the prosperity study a little bit later in the program. You talk about getting the funding outside of the schools. How does Piedmont Council of the Arts do that? Because we've already mentioned that there are, I guess, what we often think of as the easies, or what I think of is that the ExxonMobil, who wants to look good in the, you know, nationally, and so they have $1 million or $2 million, et cetera, to donate to a variety of arts programs, whether they're local or national. How do you do that now? Where does PCA look for current funding?
Well, I think going back to the school thing, it's not so much finding funding outside of the schools as creating programs and doing programs that are already within our capabilities for school children, such as our Arts Access Project and our Arts Inspire initiative that's under that project. And basically that is a program that, granted, it received funding outside of our normal budget from the CACF and Bama Works. But it was definitely within our wheelhouse already and was something that we were fully capable of doing and just needed.
Are you saying that it's a project that was already planned and now you're going to incorporate the schools into it? Is that what I'm hearing?
It was a project that was planned for school children.
Okay. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Arts Inspire project. Tell me what that is, how it works.
Yeah, so it is basically an acknowledgement of the fact that there are plenty of children who are in school every day and don't get arts programming. They don't get to take a drawing class. They don't get to take photography. They don't get really exposed to the arts. They are the quote-unquote underserved youth of Charlottesville and Albemarle. And that basically means that they are not given the extra attention in arts and creative pursuits that other kids are. So they don't go to a magnet school. They don't go to a special arts focused school. They are public school children who, you know, don't really have all the resources available to them that other kids in the area might. So Arts Inspire works with them. And basically the idea behind the project was to get local artists to propose workshops to hold with these children and then pairing those workshops with different outreach groups that work with the kids. So Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Abundant Life, Boys and Girls Club, groups like that that already have kids who need activities to do and getting them extra programming that is specifically arts focused.
And you had, I know that you had four projects. Did you have more than four that were suggested?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got, I think, about 70 proposals and had a panel of local folks who kind of got together and helped us decide which ones would be the most feasible. Both the most rewarding for the kids, the most interesting, and also just, you know, within our means. And so from that, we picked four workshops that are in the process of going on right now, actually.
Give me two of them.
One of them was a nature sculpture workshop with local artist Patrick Costello. And so we took the kids to Lee Park and taught them about kind of making sculptures out of natural materials and kind of expanding their definition of what art is. So it doesn't have to be something in a museum. It can be something that is in a park and exists for 5 minutes before the wind blows it over.
What were the underserved youth who were participating in that?
That was Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And so it was a handful of kids who came with their Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And we all just kind of went to the park and made some art.
How were the youth, underserved youth, how were the kids matched up with the project? Did somebody pick one for the other, or were they just sort of tossed up in the air and matched that way?
basically, the workshops were selected independent of the kids who were participating in them. So we got together a group of local kind of experts in the field. So people from the city, some outreach people like the Enrichment Alliance of Virginia, and then also some people from different outreach groups like New City Arts and Second Street Gallery, and had them help us choose the workshops. And then once the workshops have been selected, we contacted our extensive list of outreach program contacts. So the people at Big Brothers Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Club, all the different groups that exist in Charlottesville, and sent them descriptions of the workshops and let them know that they were open and available to them, and kind of planned the actual workshops depending on what the response was.
All right, we'll get all four as we go through the hour, but give me a second one.
Second one was a portrait drawing session with Julia Hauser, and it basically, the whole theme of Arts Inspired this year actually syncs up with the Celebrate 250 campaign that's going on to celebrate Charlottesville's 250th anniversary. So the theme is telling Charlottesville's stories. And so the hero portraits basically asked the kids to pick someone that they knew in their community, maybe a neighbor, maybe a relative or a friend, and make them into a superhero. Just to pick one of their favorite qualities about the person and accentuate it, and then draw a portrait of them as that superhero. And so this was with Abundant Life Kids and some children over in the Prospect Ave neighborhood. And so there were some really good responses.
Very cool. 11:20 here on WNRN Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Our guest this morning, Sarah Lawson. She's the executive director at Piedmont Council for the Arts, talking about funding and why the arts shouldn't always be considered the frills. Also talking about a variety of the projects that Piedmont Council of the Arts does in our neighborhood that you might not even be aware of. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's going to be hot. And I could stop right there, but let me tell you that slight chance of thunderstorms today, a heat advisory until 8 p.m. tonight. Right now, 95 to 100 are the expected highs. Tonight, lows 65 to 70, then mostly sunny again tomorrow, highs in the mid-90. Right now, it's pretty hot outside, and the temperature going up dramatically, 86 in the valley, 88 in Lynchburg, 85 in Richmond, 89 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thanks to Blue Ridge Graphics for their support. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics. 296-9746 online, brgtshirts.com. And please don't forget, for those of you who need to take advantage, the Herman Key Recreation Center in downtown Charlottesville near the Intellis Wireless Pavilion is open as a cooling center for those of you who need to take advantage. All right, back with our guest, Sarah Lawson. Sarah, we were talking about, you said something in there about stories, which made me think of there's a storyline project upcoming as well for PCA.
That's right. The storyline project is one of my favorite projects that PCA does. And it's, I guess it's going to be 4 years old this year. And it's a collaboration between PCA, the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative, SiteWorks, architecture firm, and also a couple other organizations. And basically the concept behind it is that for a week, we take a group of Parks and Rec kids out on walking excursions in different neighborhoods, and they get to learn a little bit more about their community and talk to people who have historical input as to what has taken place in that neighborhood, and then kind of every day create sketches and any kind of creative expression that they feel the need to put on paper in response to the people that they've talked to and the things that they've seen. And at the end of the week, all of these sketches and ideas kind of get put into one giant mural on the community chalkboard downtown at the pavilion side of the mall. And so that's actually coming up July 9th through 12th. And so all of the community is invited to see the mural on the 12th, and we'll be making it all morning, so feel free to stop by.
How can you participate? I mean, if you want to be someone, is there a way to either If you want to participate, or you want your kid to participate, or you know someone in that area, et cetera?
Yeah, we're definitely always looking for volunteers, both for Storyline and for other PCA programs. And the best way to do that is to either visit our website, which is www.charlottesvillearts.org, or just to email any of our staff, and we'll get in touch with more specifics and information.
Again, Sarah Lawson here from the Piedmont Council of the Arts. As we talk about arts and their importance and some of the programs that are ongoing here. Sarah, we've been talking about funding a little bit in the program, but it seems like that it's not just about funding. In some ways, it's about mindset. We always talk, there's certainly been a lot of, whether they're ads or on TV or radio or newspaper articles, about how the United States needs to put more effort into education, because let's compare the U.S. scores for math and science about the rest of the world, and how we're not number one, we're somewhere in the bottom 20s. How do you convince people that the arts are just as important, or that the arts help in a similar way that math and science do?
Well, again, I mean, there's plenty of studies out there that can say it better than I can. Personally, I kind of subscribe to the idea that the arts are part of kind of having a whole brain. And that basically, that theory says that education is wonderful, and of course everyone needs to learn math and science, but if you have arts to augment those, you'll be able to do them more effectively. And so instead of being a human calculator, you'll, you know, be able to kind of understand the concepts better, because your brain will be functioning on different levels just as a result of thinking creatively by participating in the arts. Personally, I know that to be true. I feel like I've seen that in many, many other people, and obviously don't have any data that I personally have collected, but there are many other studies out there that kind of suggest the same thing.
Phone lines are open, by the way, 979-0919. I would love to hear from people who, you know, what do you do? Do you participate in the arts in some way, something that makes you happy, makes you a better person, makes your kids more well-rounded? What was the phrase you used? Something
whole-brained.
Events that you find important to participate in. Please, 979-0919. It doesn't just have to be about Charlottesville. You know, we are also talking to the folks in Harrisonburg and Lexington and Lynchburg, Richmond. So the toll-free number is open, 877-WNRN-ROCKS, or the local 979-0919. Is Piedmont Council of the Art involved in First Fridays?
We are. And actually, First Fridays is a funny thing in Charlottesville. There's no overarching group that's in control of it. So there's no one who actually does any organization or publicity for it. It's currently just a program that individual galleries are welcome to participate in. And so it's more of just an idea. And galleries know that every, you know, First Friday there are going to be people wandering up and down the mall looking for art. And I think it's a great way to get the community involved. It gets people in the doors of galleries that they might not otherwise explore, and, you know, supports the galleries by selling art and just getting people kind of more enthusiastic about the arts community. PCA actually just in the past year moved our office from the McGuffey Arts Center into City Space, which is on the downtown mall right by the pavilion. And in City Space, there's actually gallery space. So we are now actually a participating gallery in First Fridays, typically. And the gallery is used for community arts projects. So it's not actually individual artists that exhibit there, but rather we feature other groups' outreach projects. So, for instance, earlier this year, we had an exhibit that was put up by the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative that was focused on their iConnect photography workshop. And so each month there's a different outreach project that's featured in the gallery. And this month actually is an exception to that, I apologize. But July 1st Fridays will be a Celebrate 250 campaign exhibit. So
I don't think that's anything to apologize for.
Well, definitely not an arts outreach project, but definitely very interesting. And it's going to be on Friday, July 6th.
I saw the phone was ringing. Try again, please, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I'd love to hear from people who are pleased and are happy with or have their special interest that you'd like to take advantage of and talk about how it helps you, helps your family, helps your neighbor, helps the city or surrounding area in regards to the arts. If you want to call up and tell us that we're wasting our money spending funds on this when people are unemployed, et cetera, everyone has their opinion, and you're free to call up and give me yours. So 979-0919-1877 WNRN Rocks here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Our guest again, Sarah Lawson, the Executive Director at Piedmont Council of the Arts. Sarah, we were talking about the Arts Inspire Project, and we heard the first two, but you had four that were selected.
That's right.
Where you put, interesting projects together with special underfunded, underserved youth.
That's
in
right.
Our area.
Exactly, yeah. As I was mentioning, kind of as a supplementary activity for kids who might not get as much arts exposure either at home or in school. The first two that we've done so far have gone wonderfully. We still have two left in the series that will be taking place in July. And one of those is a map-making session. And so this is definitely one of those workshops that kind of expands your idea of what the arts are.
Cartography?
Exactly. It's working with local artist Lisa Kimball, and we'll be working with some kids from Parks and Rec and making kind of creative maps of the Charlottesville area. So not necessarily accurate maps, but, you know, how the kids see their world kind of maps. So what is the path to grandma's house kind of maps.
That sounds really cool. Can you see that on the charlottesvillearts.org site?
Not yet, because it hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened.
But we'll be exhibiting all of the workshop artwork in August, actually, in City Space. And so that exhibit will be up for August 1st, Fridays, on August 3rd. And then we'll stay up through September.
And we need to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for WNRN being here, which allows us to talk about Piedmont Council of the Arts. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is celebrating 40 years as your local one-stop source for outdoor gear, apparel, and footwear. As the heat of summer settles in, you can stay cool with Blue Ridge's selection of quick-dry shirts, broad shorts, sandals, and flip-flops. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville and at two locations in Richmond. For more store information, it's brms.com. All right, again, talking with Piedmont Council of the Arts Executive Director, Sarah Lawson. And Sarah, there's a fourth project from the Arts Inspire group.
Exactly, yeah. The fourth project is actually a dance and movement workshop. So it's kind of a creative expression through movement program. And basically working with Terra Dance Project to get kids to create a physical response to telling a story about their experience in the Charlottesville area. So not ballet, not tap dance, nothing specifically genre oriented, but just a very general kind of creative expression through movement and I guess some dance steps. But it'll be a group of kids who will be choreographed according to their own interests. So it should be interesting. We'll have video of that also.
Now, when we talk about dance, do you... does PCA ever hear from people that say, that's not art? Or, and I don't mean dance in particular, but, you know, early on you mentioned, well, let's talk about cartography.
What about cryptography?
Cryptography.
That's
now, that would
question.
Be a cool art.
Yeah.
But, you know, do some things you get feedback as to lesser interest or negative replies and negative feedback?
Yeah, I mean, art is, like I said earlier, art is a very personal thing. So because someone out there doesn't think that dance is a valid art form, I respect that opinion. My opinion is different than that, but it is up to each individual to make that call. PCA sees the arts as very, very broad, and so we want to help every arts organization and every artist in the area, regardless of which type of art they practice. But I understand that people don't see everything quite so broadly, and some people are a little bit more critical of supporting different arts initiatives. And that's just a daily struggle for any arts organization or any artist to just try to defend our worldview.
Have you found lesser interest, whether it's in participation of individuals or whether it's in community, you know, attendance or anything through the last 3 or 4 years because of the economic situation?
Not really. I have to admit that I have only been working in the arts in Charlottesville at PCA for the past 2.5 years, so my PCA experience is a little bit limited in that term, but I've worked at other organizations in the area since 2003, and over that period of time, I haven't seen any decline in attendance. I think people are very enthusiastic here. I think that the fact that new organizations are popping up every day and new programs are started and are successful is a great testament to the fact that people are out there and are attending events and are very, you know, happy to be supporting the arts.
Let's take a moment and talk about... let me take a moment and thank Dixon Disposal. But what I want to do is I want you to start mentioning a couple specific organizations. I don't want you to play favorites, but I want you to sort of give a little free time on air to some of the groups that you've mentioned several times now, the quantity of groups in the area, and we can talk about them thanks to Dixon Disposal. And when Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single-stream recycling during regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com or call them up, 434-978-2111. So a few of the groups, not necessarily, I would assume, supported by Piedmont Council of the Arts in some way, even if it's nothing more than being included in an email newsletter that goes out monthly. Which people can subscribe to if they go to the Charlottesville Org's site?
Exactly, yeah. If you go to charlottesvillearts.org, we have a couple different newsletters that you can subscribe to, but the most popular by far is the Arts in Your Inbox, and that's our kind of promotional outreach for arts organizations who are members and also for those that aren't members of PCA. And we try to be as unbiased as possible and just provide extra coverage and support for events that we think the community should know about. So it goes out every 2 weeks, and every 2 weeks, 5 events are featured. We feature even more on the PCA blog, which is also on our website. And so that's one of the main ways that we support the arts organizations in town. We, you know, help them promote what they're already doing and help them do it better. Unfortunately, we don't have the kind of budget where we can financially support them. So a lot of it is, you know, working together to share resources and collaborate on things like this. But I mean, as far as specific organizations in town who are doing great things, I think right now one of the ones that you should be paying attention to is the Heritage Theater Festival, which is going on. They do great work every summer. It's always a very, you know, time-constrained thing, so you have a couple weeks to go see the show, but it's definitely a wonderful thing. Last night, the Live Arts Second Street Gallery and Lighthouse Film Group did a big fundraiser together, and those three all are great organizations. Live Arts puts on wonderful productions, as many, many people in this community know, either by participating or going to see them. Second Street Gallery is by far one of our area's best kind of modern art galleries. And Lighthouse, in my opinion, is just, you know, fantastic. My personal soft spot for the arts is in film, and they do these amazing film workshops for kids outside of school.
Has anything come to mind in terms of music? Isn't there a youth symphony?
Yeah, I mean, there are tons of youth music groups in Charlottesville. There's the Youth Symphony, the Charlottesville High School Symphony and Orchestra. There's just tons of groups. As far as music outreach, one of my personal favorites is the Music Resource Center, which is over, let's see, it's right by the Salvation Army downtown. And they basically provide recording studios and lessons for kids who want to take music classes but don't have them in school. And they put on a CD every year of different bands and solo acts that have come out of their program. And it's amazing to listen to these kids. There are singers and songwriters and musicians in there who are, you know, more talented than anything that you would hear on a top 40 station.
I guess it sort of falls into my heart personally to get kids interested in something. You know, as an adult, for so many of us, including myself, you know, we already have our routine. We've already claimed our favorites. you know what? I don't want to go see the opera. And then I'm cranky the whole time we're sitting there. When I am dragged along to go, and I've made it not fun for myself until we're like half an hour into it. Are you ready to go? You know, no, I was just getting into it. And I've ruined it for myself and for other people, as opposed to, you know, sort of the blank slate and giving kids a variety of things to choose from. And we don't have those organizations out there without support, whether it's from Piedmont Council of the Arts, whether it's from people who are just, adults who are mentors and have this interest and, you know, personal care in their hearts to teach. And that's one of the things I want to make sure that we sort of get out there today, is that while you may personally not be interested, that there, if there's a child in your life who you think would be, to take advantage of that. Because as we've mentioned, Charlottesville, Albemarle, Richmond, and some of the other listening areas, we're blessed, I suppose, for lack of a better term, to have this offered to us.
It's true, yeah. I mean, I can't say it enough. We are really, really lucky. We live in a great area, and we have great people doing wonderful work in this area. And I think you're right, that leaving doors open for kids is really the most important thing, and just exposing them to as many arts opportunities as possible. You know, you never know when, you know, an opera is going to click in someone's head, or maybe going to this gallery and seeing a photograph is going to suddenly change a child's life. And it sounds really cliched and silly and a little overdramatic, but it's true. I think everyone, hopefully everyone, has had an experience where a piece of art or an arts performance or some kind of arts experience has just really kind of dug deep down into you and latched on in some way and made you interested in that. And often it can be a lifelong interest that will influence other parts of your life, maybe your job in the future. Who can say, really? It's kind of, it's a long-term investment to make in kids to make sure that they have that curiosity and that interest in pursuing new experiences.
I found out as a kid that I really didn't have the skill to sketch, to draw.
I think you're not alone in that one.
and it sort of bummed me in a way. And someone gave me a Jackson Pollock book. And anyone can paint Jackson Pollock style, whether it's quality enough to be hung on a museum wall, but you can become personally interested and inspired and feel capable of that. And it's just sometimes it's just finding the right niche for someone to fill that hole. And I think there are a lot of adults out there who could do maybe not a better job, but try a little harder and a little more often.
Yeah. I think it's very easy to kind of scare yourself away, to convince yourself that you're not the best teacher and that you have no business mentoring anyone. But really we all have skills that we can share. And I think that, I mean, Big Brothers Big Sisters is an excellent example of this. You know, you can always bring something to the table for a kid who, you know, doesn't have the same support that other kids do necessarily. And Virginia Commission for the Arts actually this year did a really great program called Minds Wide Open, which is a biannual event that they do that's kind of an awareness campaign. And this year, the awareness campaign was centered around children in the arts. So from March through June of this year, so it just wrapped up yesterday, they were just promoting a ton of events that incorporated kids in the arts and different outreach opportunities and mentorship opportunities, and kind of a really great reminder of how kids can be involved in the arts and what they can do and what they're capable of.
11:42 on the Wake Up Call, talking about the arts and Piedmont Council of the Arts with Sarah Lawson. Hang on.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Market Tiger Fuels and by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on newsstands Thursday. Here's Rick on what you can find on this week's Hook.
Oh, this week it's the big box bonanza. Hunter Craig was lauded in bringing Wegmans down to Charlottesville. Deals on meals. Restaurant Week lineup has been announced. Restaurant Week, July 9th through the 15th. 16 area restaurants on board. And Jeremiah Langhorne, from Pizza Boy to Top Shelf, an Albemarle High School graduate, has come a long way from being a pizza delivery boy. Pick up your hook now. And let me thank Al Oppelmans for supporting WNRN. They are Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. Al Oppelmans Music Department now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, as well as electric guitar packages and complete drum sets. Al Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg, online, loppelman.com. And in about 15 minutes, Drew Thompson will be here for Les Temps Purdue, best of 80s and 90s alternative music. Drew will bring the roots of alternative because you can't understand where we are without first knowing where we've been. Take a trip back to the times gone by with Les Temps Purdue, only on WNRN. Sarah, I want to get to the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study, but we got an anonymous caller who said that for those of you who are concerned about math, people who have, it is scientifically proven that if you are good at music, you have better math skills.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the number of studies out there that show that your test scores and your general aptitude just improves by exposure to any number of arts. I know that music is definitely one of the ones that has been, I guess, tested the most. But it's true even for visual arts and dance and theater. It just, you know, makes you a well-rounded person, gets your brain working.
Which many of us could use. let's talk about the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study, recently completed.
Yeah, finally completed. We're quite excited. So this is a study that we were participating in all last year. So throughout 2011, PCA, you probably saw us, actually. We were serving almost every arts event that was going on. So there were volunteers and staff members who were out there with clipboards and asking questions about people's expenditures for arts events and just general support of the arts in the area. And this was a study that was actually conducted by Americans for the Arts, which is a national organization that advocates and also just generally studies and supports the arts. So a couple weeks ago now, we got the results back and have been doing our best to share them with other people because it's quite exciting. Charlottesville was in a population group, and within that population group, we ranked right at the top as far as the amount of economic activity that is generated by the arts in our area. So the arts and culture industry actually account for $114 million in our community per year. And that's just general.
All right. I'm going to make sure that I am grasping that properly.
Yeah. It's a lot of numbers.
$114 million spent by the consumer to attend and purchase things related to arts?
Basically, yeah. Yeah, the 114 is just the general expenditures and economic activity in the area. So it's
Is that including like dinner while you're out to go to a show at the pavilion?
Exactly, yeah. It's expenditures by audiences, but also by organizations to put on events. So it's just the amount of money that basically goes into the local economy that is in any way attached to the arts. So it includes babysitters, it includes buying new curtains for the theater, it includes basically everything. But one of the other exciting things is that the arts in our area also account for almost 2,000 jobs. And so that's 2,000 full-time equivalent jobs that are being supported purely through the arts and culture industry.
Does that include babysitters?
You know, I don't think that includes babysitters. I think that includes people like me who actually, you know, have a formal job title that is related to an arts organization or in any way kind of an arts advocacy role. And that's great. I mean, in this economy, having 2,000 jobs that are part of one industry is awesome.
And I guess for many people, again, we go back to the funding part. If you're trimming one job from the arts to give it to someone else in another field, are we really helping save anything? You know, if you cut the Piedmont Council job so that you can move it over here to another organization, are we really saving anything to do that? You know, trimming the frill, it might not truly be a frill. $114 million?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that the study really proves, is that there's no reason to take away support of the arts, that really any money that is put into supporting the arts comes back, you know, double or triple of what the actual investment was. Just showing how worthwhile it is to support the arts. I mean, for people who attend arts events in this area, an average of $40 approximately is spent just related to the event. So that, you know, again, is the babysitter, the dinner, whatever. And that's, I think, really fantastic. And that includes residents and non-residents. So that's just money that is being put into the local economy and supporting our local businesses by people who wouldn't necessarily otherwise spend that money except for the fact that they are going to an arts event.
So it's not just Charlottesville people spending money in Charlottesville. That could be people from Richmond, over the mountain in Waynesboro, Stanton.
Exactly.
Coming in to see the show or go to the play or First Fridays.
Yeah, and most of it is actually from non-residents. Most of it is from people who come specifically to Greater Charlottesville, which we include as Charlottesville and Albemarle, but who come to the area and come specifically for arts events or arts programming and then proceed to invest in our local economy by, you know, buying dinner, buying art, and in any way just participating in things and spending their money, which benefits all of us because that, you know, strengthens our economy locally.
Did I miss it? Did you tell me this? Why was this study done?
Yeah, well, it's a study that Americans for the Arts does every 5 years, and it's kind of a general temperature check that communities can participate in, and in order to be part of the study, you actually have to pay a certain amount of money. And so we were sponsored by local government agencies as well as local arts organizations. And then we invested in it as well and just decided that it was time for Charlottesville to actually have numbers and be able to advocate better for our arts community, which is so strong.
You know, we were talking about the amount of money that goes into the economy. Is all that like dinners out and babysitters, or does that include people who spend the night? Sort of tourism factors. Is that the word that it wasn't said, but that's what you mean?
Exactly. Yeah, it all comes under the umbrella of cultural tourism. So it includes hotels. It includes the tickets to the events. It includes going to Monticello while you're here. It includes whatever, but definitely cultural tourism.
So now we are talking about a wider range of jobs for people who are sort of stuck, like I seem to have been, on the arts positions. But now you're talking about somebody who there may be one job at Monticello because you need the extra shift to drive the shuttle bus up and down. Or the people who work, I can't think of exactly what it's called, but near Intello's where you can get your... is it a tourism spot?
Oh, yeah, the Charlottesville Albemarle...
Regional Tourism
Visitors Bureau.
Thank you.
Yeah. It is definitely the arts and culture industry. And so that
there are
includes...
more roots to this than I think are obviously easy to see.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're like the Historical Society. Charlottesville is rich in cultural activities that fall under the arts and culture umbrella, but aren't necessarily what you would normally think of as art. And so it's definitely a wide ranging definition.
It is 11:52 on the wake-up call, winding down our conversation with Sarah Lawson, Executive Director at Piedmont Council of the Arts. Let me remind you, this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And just a quick note, Leslie will only be with us for a few more shifts, so we will be looking for a second producer for the show. If you have an interest in the program or are available to work occasional Sundays and have a basic ability with computers in which we can teach you the rest, email me at rmoore@wnrn.org or stop by the station. And next Sunday, we will be talking with Wayne Cozart from the University of Virginia about the secret societies of UVA, histories and stories of groups from the Seventh Society to the Imps, to the Eli Bananas. So join us again next Sunday. Sarah, the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study, who did you present that to, and is it just numbers that you're sharing, or is the goal to actually to get more? Because you can say, hey, look, this is important to us, and can you give us a grant, and this group, can you... You know, fund, because we talked earlier on about the need to find new methods for funding.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, right now, it is just numbers. PCA is actually planning a month-long kind of promotion and campaign around the numbers and around the data in September, in which the public will find out a lot more about the statistics and kind of how they can use that information. But the way that PCA is primarily going to be moving forward with all the data that we got is to embark on a cultural planning process. And most communities our size already have a cultural plan in place or are working to develop one. And so PCA, working with an outside consultant, have kind of embarked on getting funding for a cultural plan for Charlottesville and Albemarle. And that will outline different priorities and goals, as well as strategies for achieving those goals in the arts and culture community here. So facilitating better collaboration between downtown and the university, providing better arts outreach resources, things like that will all be goals of the cultural plan. And so the data will help us both fundraise for the cultural plan, but also actually get statistics that will be necessary in making plans. And that process will be taking place throughout 2013 with a final report in 2014.
Hey, I sort of overlooked this, but it's something that from the very beginning I wanted to talk about. You have the Rising Star Award from Piedmont Council of the Arts. Tell me what it is and how you choose the winners.
Yeah, well, Rising Stars is our annual high school honor celebration for high school students who are great in the arts. And they actually, we don't choose the winners. Their teachers choose the winners. So each school's art teachers get to nominate different kids who they think are outstanding. And then all the kids who are nominated receive the award in the fall at an award ceremony, which also includes performances and an exhibition of their work. So that will be taking place in October this year with the actual ceremony on October 5th.
Have the nominations taken place?
They have. Yeah, they came in May and early June. And so all the kids already know that they've been awarded the award and they're getting ready and are pretty excited.
Do you know any of them? Maybe not by name, but by some of the arts that they partake in that would be at the event in October?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of musicians, lots of theater kids, lots of visual artists, lots of creative kids out there who do amazing work and are incredibly involved both in and out of school in the arts. It's really, every year, it's astonishing to see how much they do.
You know, as a parent, which I'm not, I'm upset that my that's right, I am a parent, as Lazarus is in the room bothering people and that's pointed out to me. Please get your child off my toes to stop licking my toes. Be a better parent. I want more arts in my school system. Do I go to Piedmont Council of the Arts? And we're back to that sort of circular that I started with, is we need more arts. We need a greater focus on arts.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, the first step can definitely be to contact PCA and we can tell you more about how to advocate elsewhere. But a lot of it is also just talking to your principal, talking to, you know, your child's teacher, talking to Virginia Commission for the Arts, talking to any city council member, just making sure that your opinion about the arts is publicly known. And, you know, that goes for both sides of the argument. I personally agree that the arts are important, but if you don't, I would also, you know, welcome that opinion. I'd be interested to hear it and would love to kind of find out exactly, I don't know, where people's opinions lie in the area.
And you haven't done a poll on that?
You know, we have unofficial polls on that.
I would have thought that would have been part of the poll of the prosperity study.
Oh, you know, those people just didn't take the survey. So.
All right. Sarah, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. And if anyone wants to contact me or if anyone has further questions about anything that was discussed, the PCA's website, again, is www.charlottesvillearts.org. And you can email me at Sarah, which is S-A-R-A-H, at charlottesvillearts.org.
And the show will also be, this particular program will be the podcast we put up on site at sevillepodcast.com.
Great.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Everybody stay cool. If you can.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news. On newsstands Thursday, the wake-up call is also supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.